The following program is brought to you in living color.
Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva. And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about that adorable, roly-poly, a little bit wet and squishy grape. Yes, Kent, I am fired up this morning, and I am just all excited about talking about wine today.
Do you know that you add adjectives to this introduction every week without the approval of management?
I realize that, but you also put strange bumpers in there that just if you can change bumpers, I can change
adjectives.
It's
a trade-off. It's a trade-off.
Yes.
And the guy you mentioned, the guys down the hall, there's somebody down the hall taping another show, and you asked me what they do, and I told you. And they were asking about your show.
Oh, were they now?
I said, all she does, she opens up a couple of bottles, guzzles them, and then talks about it. That's it.
I definitely have a job to be envious of. There's no two ways about it. Particularly coming off Thanksgiving, it's nice to be sitting in a peaceful, quiet studio. There's no one else in here. It is quiet. There's no one to argue with me. There's no one to debate.
Well, the hour is still young.
Everybody just take a deep breath and relax. Thanksgiving is finally behind us. We have done it. We have finished it. We have conquered the turkey. The birds are set, cooked, done, and finished. Everybody is still getting off their turkey sandwiches, their turkey tetrazzinis, and whatever else they do with leftover turkey.
How was Thanksgiving at your house?
Thanksgiving was, it was interesting. It usually is interesting. There's never really a dull moment associated with this. But this was the first year we decided not to cook a turkey. I was traveling actually on Thanksgiving Day. And to leave all of that work and effort to somebody else seemed a bit selfish. So we decided that we were going to do a standing rib roast. Karma has turned around and gotten even with me for breaking the Thanksgiving tradition.
Oh, how?
Well, because the standing rib roast that we came up with to feed the amount of people we had to feed was 19 pounds. So we had a 19-pound standing rib roast. And I may have had a small running in with the standing rib roast. The cow and I got into an argument and involved in a broken thumb. So I am happy to say that next year we will be cooking turkey again. I will not be fighting the battle of the beef. And yes, karma got even.
What wine did you pair the rib roast with?
Which hour?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Which might have led to the broken thumb before it was all said and done. Now, what did you do for Thanksgiving?
The family, we all did the usual turkey dressing, you know, the stuffing. I made lima beans and corn. I made broccoli casserole. I brought a nice pie for dessert.
Aren't you just the little homemaker?
Susie homemaker this year.
I'm very, very impressed. Yeah. Was it all edible?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually got comments on my broccoli casserole.
Is it one of those things that they say, oh, yes, it's wonderful, and after you leave, the leftovers quietly go down the disposal?
Probably so.
Okay, what wine did you drink?
Cheer wine. I think we had some of that.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
For all of our listeners, if anyone is in the radio or media field and they have some interest in wine and radio and would like to be a producer for The Wine Crush, please call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Please call soon.
It would be helpful to actually have someone to bounce ideas back and forth off of when it comes to a wine show if your producer actually knows something about wine, besides someone with an H in it.
I know.
Anyway,
deplorably lacking here.
I know. Thankfully, I have an amazing guest today. We have Mr. Ed Sabraja. Longtime listeners of the show will know that I have to admit, even though I never say I have a favorite, Mr. Sabraja is certainly up there. The only man, I believe, still in the world to have a number one white wine and a number one red wine. So we're going to get some of his insights today, and hopefully he can counterbalance the damage that Kent does. But we did make it through Thanksgiving, and I deliberately did something. And some of you caught it. It seems like every time we discuss Thanksgiving, what to serve, what needs to be on the table, we discuss Gewürztraminer. And I made a point this year that that varietal and that word would never leave my mouth until we got the birds done. Well, I heard from a number of you who were actually trying to pair wines and asking me, why did you not do a Gewürztraminer? simply because I'm tired of having turkey and Gewürztraminer paired together. When it comes down to it, Gewürztraminer, it is a fun grape. It is an outstanding varietal. There's so many different things you can do with a Gewürztraminer. It is not limited to turkey. So, for my white wine recommendation, now that the bird is gone, today's white wine is going to be Snoqualmie Naked Gewürztraminer. Now, Snoqualmie Vineyards out of Washington State, they have been around for ages. Great, great property. What's interesting is they do this whole line called Naked. No, I'm not saying they're running around naked, crushing and pressing and harvesting grapes. When they say Naked, they literally let Mother Nature do the work. They unmanipulate this wine as much as possible. The grapes actually are sustainable. They're organic. They're certified organic. And basically, Joy the winemaker leaves Mother Nature alone. Not that we really have much option with Mother Nature. She's going to do what she wants to do when she wants to do it. But that is their mentality when they come to the Naked series. And because of that, this is one of the purest expressions of Gewürztraminer I have seen in the States. It has great caramel flavors. It's very spicy. It's very clovey, which clovey is definitely going to be the word for the day. But ultimately, when you look at this fruity, spicy, great wine, some of it tends to have a little residual sugar. It pairs ideally with ethnic foods, whether it's Thai, whether it's Mexican, whether it's that spicy, wonderful hot mustard that you get at your favorite Chinese restaurant, whether you're eating sushi, Pacific Rim. This is the wine for those foods. Now, unless you are blackening a turkey on Thanksgiving, there are much better wines to pair with your bird. Ergo, we did not recommend a Gewürztraminer until now. For those of you who have this wild hankering to go out for Mexican food after all the turkey you've eaten, this is the time you want to try a Gewürztraminer. So there is your white wine recommendation. And therefore, the rest of you who may not be listening until Christmas and decide you're going to do a Gewürztraminer then, I told you, no, stay away from the bottle.
Can you explain the origin of the name Gewürztraminer?
Not in this segment, but I'll be happy to open it for the next one.
Okay.
It's going to be long, and I'd like to get to my wine recommendation.
Okay.
The next wine I'm going to recommend, because I got into the clove thing, I think it was simply because that people were doing a whole lot of mulled wines, they were doing some ciders, and everyone had clove and cinnamon around me. It really made me start hankering for some decent cloves. And in doing so, Sterling Reserve Merlot. Not the regular vintners you see on the shelf, not the basic Napa that they do, but their actual reserve Merlot. It seems like a lot of people have gotten away from doing high-tier reserve in Merlots, and I think that's a crying shame, because even though I advocate the fact that we like wines that are ready to drink right now, this reserve Merlot, it had lain down for a while. So I had a 2000 Sterling Reserve Merlot that kept nicely until 2011. But also we had a current vintage of 2005, and we had them both side by side. And these wines were just spectacular. Red wines, of course you have your black cherry that you expect out of Merlot. But it had nutmeg, it had cloves, it had hints of eucalyptus and pine. Basically, if you could take all the aromas of the season that you expect around December, this wine had every single one of them. And it was silky, it was beautiful, it was lovely. So your red wine recommendation is Sterling Reserve Merlot. Yes, it's going to cost you a little bit more, but it's definitely worth it as we start attacking whether it's the roast beast again or we start moving toward Christmas. This is a wine that's affordable, and it's definitely going to liven up your table. So there's your red wine recommendation. Of course, we're going back to the Naked Gewürztraminer for the white wine recommendation. Yes, it always breaks my heart. Oh, and might I add, for those of you who were kind enough to send me emails and text on Thanksgiving, let me go over this one more time. You cannot define and determine a wine is corked through writing. You can send me all the pictures you want to of the glasses. You can describe all the aromas you want to out of the glass, but only you are the one that can figure out if a wine is corked. So for the group of you that were together and were having the argument and debate and letting me settle whether a wine was corked or not, I will go back and tell you what I told you then. Only you can prevent and determine corkage. Being corked. So in doing so, if you get that wet cardboard and wet newspaper smell, and if you think a white wine looks a little dark, chances are it's corked. But then again, there are some wines, and there's a winery that my friends have a ball with me all the time. It's a winery that's been open for 25 years. I've been drinking the Chardonnay on and off for 19 years. I have yet to be served a glass of this wine that I will not look at it and hand it back to someone and tell them it's corked. So, It is all a matter of palate. It's all a matter of preference, and it's how the winemaker approaches something. So as much as I hope I helped you on Thanksgiving, I seriously doubt I did. This is something your palate has to accustom itself to. This is something you need to learn to define for yourself if you're going to continue to investigate the wine waters. Because even though we are getting into the world of screwcap, even though we're slowly moving away from the world of cork, we are still in a situation now that 3 out of every 12 bottles of wine has some hint of cork, meaning some hint of TCA has affected that bottle of wine. So if you are going to continue to partake and study and enjoy wine, be prepared to encounter this and know how to define it on your own when you find it. Now, Kent, you're staring at me like I have 3 heads.
Yeah, at least three. I'm just listening and digesting what you were saying. I mean, does this represent a change over the past, a radical change that you're detecting more cork now?
It is something that 5 years ago, the figure would have been 2 bottles out of 12. Hmm. 10 years ago, the bottle was 1 bottle out of 12.
So what's changed?
What's happening? It sounds really, really tragic. But one, you have a lot of wineries that are speeding up the cork process in the sense that it's no longer just the high-end bottles of wine that were finished with cork. So it wasn't that people were taking as loving care with their corks. Corks are being produced on a massive scale. Think about all the wineries we've discussed that are opening, both in the United States, around the world. I think the figure I gave on the latest show was something like 72,000 different wineries in the world. And as these grow incrementally, the demand for cork increases. And with the demand for cork increasing, that means that it's not all as preciously taken care of. The cleaning runs faster. There are more chances for this cork to go bad. So this is what we're seeing and why, which, of course, our friend the screw cap is hopefully helping us to eliminate.
The bottom line is the quality is lessening.
Unfortunately, yes. When you look at, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but when you talk about clear cutting the rainforest, when the fact that there's only 3 oak trees that cork can be produced off and they're limited, and of course by now we're getting to a point where those trees aren't as old and as stately as they used to be, they're rushing to grow them. It's a natural resource. Mm-hmm. And just like any other natural resources, it's starting to decline as people expand it on it more and more and more. So we're going to leave that here. There's going to be more of the Wine Crush after a break.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus 2 free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. Don't make me come back there. Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. It has been a while since I picked on my favorite topic, our Frenchmen. And yes, we have not had anyone beating on the studio windows with baguettes lately, so I think it's time to alleviate that. Before we took a break at the last segment, we were talking about natural resources. And this news off the vine just has me absolutely floored. We cannot not talk about this. Cash-strapped French wine town forced to sell off monuments. This comes off the AFP. Residents of Saint-Emilion, a hugely popular World Heritage site in southwest France, were shocked when their mayor sold a medieval monument to pay off debts. The mayor indeed sold a 14th century cloister. It used to be a home to a sparkling producer. Now, this is something that the town of Saint-Emilion had been responsible for taking care of. Now, 14th century, so we're talking a 1300 buildings. And people are just all upset and undone because they have sold this tradition and sold this monument. But what the article goes on to say is, number one, all the citizens expected the government to take care of it. Two, the government had said that the only way this building could be restored is if it were restored to exact specifications on how it was built in the 1400s, which was going to cost millions of dollars. And three, ultimately, with the town being in horrible debt, they just expected the government to come down and save this building. So let me get this straight.
That sounds very American.
Well, actually, it goes on to say that the Frenchmen are totally and absolutely against the idea of setting up any kind of charitable organization where people could give money to have the building restored. It is too much of an American idea to ask for people to donate money to save a building. So get this. They don't want to take on the American tradition of having charitable donations so that the building can be restored and stay part of the town. Two, the government is exacting on how they want the building restored. Three, the town's in such debt that it can't fund it. So what did they think the building was going to do? Just sit there and fall in, but that was okay, but it was not okay to sell it?
Yeah.
I mean, this makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, here's the best part. It was sold to a Frenchman who is going to take it and turn it back into a sparkling producer.
With his own money.
With his own money. It's a countryman. It's not like it was sold out to an American. It wasn't sold out to someone in one of the Far East communities. It is actually somebody in town who stepped up with his own money to buy the property and buy the building, to restore it to the government's expectations, to make it once again a wine-producing house. But everyone's all upset.
And they're upset. Why?
Because the mayor...
This sounds like the perfect solution to me.
Oh, no, but they're mad at the mayor because he sold the building.
Oh, I see.
I see. It's not...
The French, I just never will understand sometimes.
Well, I guess they're perfectly happy with somebody else spending money as long as they don't feel that they've lost their personal asset. So I guess the people in St. Emilion thought the building was their personal asset, although they're not willing to give their time or their money to help it.
Huh.
This makes perfectly logical sense to me. And we wonder why the New World is slowly surpassing France when it comes to production and wine and just about everything else. So I thought maybe our listeners would find that as interesting as I did. Call me, 877-4CRUSH-1, or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com.
Unless you're French, I don't want the emails and phone calls again. Give them to Laura.
Oh, but why? They're always, when they get indignant, it's just funny. You can't understand them anyway. You can just sit and laugh. We'll play a couple on the show. It'll be fine. Now, on the flip side of it, the Frenchmen, I'm going to give you fair time here because Americans aren't much better. Now, we've been discussing, and I'm not going to get into politics on the show at all. I promise not to, although anyone who listens probably knows which way I lean. But this was interesting. Vineyard owner says hiring citizen workers was total failure. Now, I'm not going to name the winery just because it's not really fair to them. If they want to come on the show, it will be great. But ultimately, 12% unemployment in the state we're discussing. It's California. I'll go ahead and give you that. 12% unemployment. So this vineyard owner decided that because the 12% unemployment, what he would do is he would hire the people who are unemployed to try and give them some kind of wage, some kind of income, and not hire a professional picking crew. Because we aren't going to get into the immigration status. A lot of the status of the people who come in professionally picked, they're not United States citizens. So the vineyard owner decided he was doing something great for his community. He posted ads on Craigslist. He posted ads on Twitter, on Facebook. Hey, come out, help me pick my grapes, and I will pay you $9 an hour, and all you have to do is work for the 12 days I need my grapes come in. Well, at first he was all excited. He had 70 people respond. 70 people came in and said, this is wonderful, this is great, thank you very much. Now, of those 70 people, after the first day, he had to get rid of 35 of them because 35 of them were demanding that he pay them cash so that so they wouldn't lose their unemployment status. Then, of the 35 that stayed, 18 of them said, no, the work's too hard. I have better things to do. I'm going to go home and collect my unemployment. When push came to shove, he had 5 people that stayed to help him pick his grapes. His grapes started rotting on the vine. And then what he had to do, call in a picking crew at the last minute to come and get his grapes up. So it doesn't matter apparently where we are these days. There are sides of every story that just never cease to amaze me. I want your questions and comments, 877-4CRUSH-1, or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Coming up next, the famous or infamous Ed Sabraja, however you want to look at it.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Hi, I'm Darrell Waltrip. Right now, there are millions of American families hit hard by these economic times, and more children are in danger of going hungry. In fact, nearly 1 in 4 children in America face the threat of hunger. There is a solution. Feed the Children is rushing food and essentials to families in desperate need across our nation. But they can't meet the need alone. You can help Feed the Children in the race against child hunger in America.
To find out how you can help, go to speedtofeed.org.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant, what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Who wants to be right as the rain is better when something is wrong? You get excitement.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. And there are moments in the crush history that it's always fun to look back and ponder on the great times we've had on the show. Well, right now, we are going to relive some of those times because one of my favorite guests and one of my favorite people are joining us again today. Mr. Ed Sabraja of Sabraja Family Vineyards. Ed, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How you doing?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
Did you survive Thanksgiving in one piece?
Yes, we did. We did.
Did we do a big traditional family at the winery, or did we have everyone together? What kind of trouble did you get into?
What we did was, and I'm still there, we rented a house out at Bodega Bidet, and all my kids came, and we had turkey and ham, and we all sat together, and we're just closing the house up and going back to work.
What a lovely, lovely respite from what has been a crazy year in the wine business.
Has been crazy.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on The Crush today. I figure of all the people who could talk about how challenging 2011 could possibly be, it would be you who has such an amazing winery. How do we put it? The best damn winery in the valley?
Yes, we do. We have the best damn view around.
Exactly.
We are at the end of Dry Creek Valley, and there's a big dam at the end of Lake Sonoma. In fact, the winery was called Lake Sonoma. Now there's a big sign with my name, Sbragia, Sbragia, on it. So we say if you've gone too far, you've gone too damn far.
Ah, ha, ha. I haven't heard that one yet. Actually, if you pass Sbragia and you're not paying attention, you're going to wind up getting wet.
Yes.
So the one thing that everyone has discussed about 2011 has certainly been the harvest. How many heartaches did you have during this harvest, and what was your most difficult varietal?
Well, Mother Nature over the years, I mean, I've been making wine. You know, I was the winemaker at Behringer for 32 years and wine master, whatever that means.
Yeah, what is a wine master?
It's actually a state of being. It's not a job.
I saw that in a press release that you're now the wine master at Sabraja Family Vineyards, and I thought, what the hell is that?
Owner, founder, and wine master. I inherited it from a gentleman who graduated from Berkeley in 1941, Louis Martini, and a guy named Charlie Crawford. And he was called wine master at Barringer's. So when he retired and I became winemaker in 1984, I became wine master.
Outstanding.
So then, you know, coming here, it just kind of stuck. So
makes
my
sense.
My son Adam, who I work with and make wine with every day and who does all the work and I take all the credit, is the winemaker.
I like the balance, though. That's how it's supposed to be. If you're passing it on to future generations, you expect them to carry the load.
Exactly.
See, I get this for you. I'm there for you.
You got it, Laura.
So as he was carrying all the load, what was the thing that traumatized you all the most after this vintage?
Well, in the last couple of years, I mean, I think with, you know, quote-unquote global warming, whether it's our fault, I'm sure we're not making it any better, but the changes in slight changes in water temperature, I think because of the cold water off the Pacific is very cold, it's 52 degrees, and Sonoma County and Napa Valley are cooled by the bay and the ocean. In our case, we're the most northwestern valley in Sonoma County, Dry Creek Valley, and the Russian River is a conduit of cold air. Well, when the water warms up just a little bit, you get more fog. And actually, we don't get hotter, we get colder. And what that brings in is precipitation. So the last couple of years at the end of harvest, it's rained. And the R word is normally bad, but this year we had sunshine every day. It was late by 3 weeks, so that gives you more of a chance of having rain because you're later in the season.
Having the R word.
The R word, you know, and if you get into November, the chances are that it's going to rain. And actually, it has rained in the last 36 years I've been making wine almost every season. The question is when, how, and what happens during that time. The worst thing about this harvest wasn't the harvest. It was back in May with the bloom where it got hot and cold, hot and cold. And we ended up losing a lot of potential crop. So the crop is about a third of the size.
Wow.
From a grape grower's point of view, that's a tough thing because you're not making the money you normally make. From a winemaker's point of view, I don't think it's a really bad harvest for us because what we got was really good. The only thing is we needed all that fruit because we're 2 years in a row now that has been a short crop. So all that abundance of, you know, that surplus of fruit, it's all gone.
But everyone keeps saying that there's this great glut. There's this great abundance. It'll be very interesting for these people when they're starting to see their wine prices escalate and keep screaming about a glut. I don't see it.
Well,
do you?
I don't think wine prices are going to escalate because we can't afford to. We're still in a difficult time. So I think everyone's got to work together. And all I know is it was cool, long season, and most of my fruit came in pristine, and then at the end it rained, and then you had to hustle. The good thing was it was ripe, so I got it in. You know, it wasn't fun, because what can happen is when it rains on you, you have about 7 to 10 days before a little mold, which in a dessert wine, called, you know, it's called botrytis. It doesn't taste moldy. It just dehydrates the fruit, and it softens it. So when you're trying to process fruit that's all soft, it's very difficult. So the end of the harvest became difficult. So I can't say it was a bad harvest. I say it was the later end was difficult.
Was difficult. Were tensions running high between father and son around the Sobraja family campus?
No.
Okay.
He and I get along really well. Adam is a really good winemaker, and I wouldn't be, you know, able to do what I do at Sobraja, what he does at Sobraja, let me clarify that, without his expertise and the people that he's hired with him.
Well, outstanding. So he has learned well from you, and you have given him the reins, and Dad stays out of it.
I pretty much just kind of steer the ship a little bit.
Okay, just kind of point him in the
direction. We taste together, and we decide what we're going to do together. But he knows what he's doing. The thing about it is when it gets tough, you just work 24 hours a day and get her done.
Get her done, get it finished.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like you have made it through. It sounds like you still have a positive attitude. What do you think was the shining star of this vintage? Your Sauvignon Blanc, some Zinfandel, Chardonnay?
Sauvignon Blancs would be outstanding. Zins are amazing, just in very short crop. So you're not going to see a lot of it. Everything's down at least 30%.
Wow.
And Cabernets were way down. And I don't know what the number is, but it's short. So,
well, here's a question.
Cabernet's going to go away. I think there's still enough Chardonnay hanging around. So,
Well, here's a question, and this is actually for my edification as much as the people listening to the show. When we hear that a crop is down 30%, when we have 30% less than we did last year, is that a direct correlation? Are we going to see 30% less wine when this is released, or are we going to see 40% less wine, 50% less wine? How does this work?
I think that brands will be good.
Okay.
You know, I think a brand takes care of itself, and an existing brand will be fine. I think what you might see is there are a lot of new negotiant labels that come up, and they come and go based on availability of wine, and they come at different quality levels, and the consumer's getting pretty savvy as to what's good and what's bad. So when there are no bad wines, I've never tasted. In the last 10 years, I think if you go taste one, you may not like it, but it's not bad. It's just not a style you don't like.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So they're technically made perfect, and there's no excuse for making what I call flawed wine. It happens once in a while because you think you get away with something, and you do, but you only get away with it once. An old winemaker told me once you can only float one once. It's like slapping a friend in the face. If someone expects something good from you and you don't give it to them, you've destroyed that friendship.
You get one pass, in other words.
And that's what brands are all about, is to make sure that everything's right. And what negotiant brands are hopefully they can acquire a consistent source of great grapes, and they can continue, and then they go from being a negotiant brand to a brand that lives on for 20, 30, 50, 100 years.
To being a full house brand. Hey, Ed, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, will you still be with us and we can finish asking you some great questions about 2011?
No problem.
All right. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will find out more about the 2011 harvest and what's going on at Sobraja Family.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial at Proactive, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality.
When they learn
to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes.
We're coming back from the break here on the Wine Crush, and we are having fun with Mr. Ed Sabraja of Sabraja Family Vineyards. Ed, are you still with us?
I'm here, Laura.
All right. Well, before we took that small little break, we had talked about 2011 and how the harvest went, but you had some exciting things happen for Sabraja Family in 2011, did you not?
Yes, I did. Since I left Behringer in 2008, is a winery in Napa Valley, for those who don't know. It's made a couple of wines.
Just a few small production wines here and there.
Yeah, now here and there.
Yes.
And I was very fortunate to work for them for such a long time with great vineyards. And they were gracious enough to allow me to start my own brand, because I promised my dad, in fact, the vineyard around the winery is called La Promessa, the promise in Italian, to take care of the vineyard. So I took everything I ever made and put it in the vineyards, planted, replanted, and never bottled a dime. But when I saw this winery and when I left Behringer, I saw it before I left. You know, we went and crushed there in 2006, bought it at the end of the year. I knew that eventually my resources would come to an end and I would need to bring in a partner. So this was the year that I finally, I've been looking for a couple years now, found someone to get married to, and it's Bacchus Capital Management. Sam Brofman is of Seagram's Law is one of the major partners, and he's a great guy. And the nicest thing about Sam is he knows the wine business, and he's a people person. And what makes a great wine and a great winery is the people, and obviously the wines, which is experience, great vineyards, and kick-ass wine.
Well, it's about time you settled down with someone. We've been hoping you'd settle down for years and years and years, and now that you finally settled down, this is exciting news. I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about it on the show is I think a lot of times people see this and say, oh, well, so-and-so is taking on the investor. They may be in trouble, and that is the furthest thing possible from the truth. It actually it frees your hands and lets you expand and do what you want to do, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I invested in a winery that can grow, and my plan is to grow with Adam and my wife and my kids, Gina, who now is a nurse who works in the tasting room on weekends, and my youngest, who wants to be a CPA, but he right now is doing the books and working harvest and trying to get a full-time job doing what he wants to do temporarily. I think he wants to come back as Adam's boss as a CFO, but we'll see what happens there.
We'll see how well that works.
I needed someone to help me, and they've been looking for quite a while, too. And this year, they have decided to get in the wine business, and I am their first equity partner. So we are partners in this. They're taking as much risk as I am, which is what I needed to have.
What does this mean for you? Does this mean you're going to expand production? Does this mean you're going to expand distribution? Are you going to change your tanks, your format? What does this mean for Sabraja Family?
Well, the old Behringer company was called a lot of things, Foster's, and then now they split, and they were Treasury Wine Estates, and now they're called Behringer Wine Estates again, and they've gone totally brand. I'm one of their luxury brands, and they are my sales and marketing agent, so that's not going to change. And I still am titled Wine Master Emeritus with them, so there's this relationship that works. It works really well. What I needed was someone to help me to, when you buy a winery, it has a certain capacity, and I need to grow to that capacity to make that winery work. So that's what I'm doing. And we're at about 10,000 cases, and we need to grow to 20.
Now,
and And that's not a little winery, but it's not a big winery. It's enough that Adam and I can do. I have two people in the cellar, and my daughter-in-law, Kathy, runs administration, hospitality, she also does a little bit of marketing sales, though I did hire a general manager. His name is Steve Cousins, and he has run Freemark Abbey, and he has run Buena Vista. He's been in the food business. He's a smart cookie and knows his marketing and sales. So we are set to go, and my partners are great guys.
Now, when you say grow, how do you – we were just discussing before the break, we discussed how we're down 30% in crop. How does a winery like you grow? Are you going to have more vineyard sites? Are you going to have more varietals? Are you going to you going to have more juice? What is your idea of growth?
All the above.
Everything.
I mean, I think in the marketplace. I mean, you should never let a winemaker own their own winery.
It's like a kid in a candy store. I want this. I want this. I want to taste this.
I mean, you look at, you know, anybody like, I don't know, Rosenblum, you know, they make 26 Zinfandels. I mean, or 26 wines. I would love to make a whole bunch of more wines. And we have a club. It's a great club. There are people who work for me who are very gracious and very kind, and they accommodate almost any desire in terms of wine. And the club is growing in a downturn economy. So, it's going to be a combination of things that go through the winery and things that go through distribution. And I think the two work together.
I think they should.
A lot of people come to the winery and they buy their case, or they buy it through the club and they get their six bottles, and then they go home and they want to buy it. And I find out where it's being sold, and I help the distributor sell to their clients by sending people there.
So people can get it. Hey, actually, speaking of buying, Ed, we are going to get ready to have to take another break and let you go. But for our listeners, the link to Sabraja's website is going to be on Wine Crush. But Ed, do you want to tell our listeners the link where they can find you?
Yeah, we're at www.sabraja.com.
All right.
And on that, it's info.com, and it'll come right to us, and we'll be right back to you.
Perfect. Well, Ed, thank you so much for being part of this show, especially as you're still enjoying your Thanksgiving break. And we look forward to talking with you again next year and seeing what exciting plans your growth finally managed to take.
Thanks, Laura.
All right. Happy holidays to you and your family, and we will talk to you soon. Hey, quick break here on The Crush again. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show and find all kind of exciting things to plan for the rest of your holidays.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
Hi, I'm Darrell Waltrip. Right now, there are millions of American families hit hard by these economic times, and more children are in danger of going hungry. In fact, nearly one in four children in America face the threat of hunger. There is a solution. Feed the Children is rushing food and essentials to families in desperate need across our nation. But they can't meet the need alone. You can help Feed the Children in the race against child hunger in America.
To find out how you can help, go to speedtofeed.org.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Yeah!
well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. As always, heartfelt, warm thank yous to Ed Sabraja for joining us today. It is great to get someone who can give such honest insight to what's going on into the business. And using what Ed said, I want to take a look back over the show and put some pieces together for you. Because ultimately, this is what things are about. And this is the time of year I think people tend to forget. We get lost in the hustle and bustle of what's going on. And we plan for the moment. We don't plan ahead. And even in the wine business, no matter how you look at it, whether it's a short harvest, whether it's a long harvest, whether it's a glut, there's not a glut, that's what everyone needs to be doing. Individually, are you planning ahead to what you're going to learn about, what you're going to drink besides past tonight? Think about what we talked about on the show. When the St. Emilion, as much as I've made fun of the fact that they're selling off their monuments to plan ahead so that they're going to be sustainable in the years to come in the ever-increasing competitiveness of the wine business. Think about the winemaker in California. He's planning ahead by trying to get his fellow countymen to come out, to get past their unemployment, to give them some work so that at some point, whether they're a fruitful part of the community or they're drinking more of his wines, he's hoping that by offering that bit of stimulus, something will happen down the road. And finally, what Ed says, he's planning growth. Even in a time of questionable economy and a questionable harvest, what he's looking to do is grow his business, to leave his legacy a little bit bigger than it was. So this is the thought I leave you with today, and I challenge you. Exactly what are you planning ahead to? What are you planning for the rest of the month, for the rest of the week, for the rest of the year, or for the next 5 years? When it comes to wine and it comes to its tangibleness, there is always a goal. There's always something you can reach for. I'm just hoping, as always, with our listeners, I am challenging you to find that goal. Here at The Crush, as always, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.